A lot of wonderful things happening, though. Great opportunities. Here we are starting out a whole new year. I'm sure you've got your New Year's resolutions all ready to go. As a matter of fact, the top 10, according to New Year's Resolution 2011.org, all right, this is where this list actually comes from, but it is the top 10 New Year's resolutions for 2012. And so we're going to look at some of these right quick and just see how you're doing. Just trying to help you out. You know, I'm not saying that this is what you need to do. I'm just saying this is what the website said. And, you know, the website's always true. It's not going to mislead you. It is the Internet. I mean, really, come on. All right, so we're going to start with number 10 and work our way to number 1. This list is a little bit different than the standard list that you see. I actually found the same list I think I used a year or two ago that hasn't changed a bit. But this one had a new little twist to it here. I thought it was kind of interesting. Number 10 was to spend more time with family. So how many of you think you need that in your life? You know, spend more time. How many of you want to spend less time with your family? So wow, I saw a lot of hands. Anyway, so spend more time with family, and that is certainly something that you need to do. You need to spend time with your family. I've heard Billy Graham's testimony on several occasions where he talks about the time not spent with his family, and if some things he could go back and do that. Here's one for you. Fall in love. Anybody need to fall in love? So, all right, if you're already married, okay, fall in love more with Jesus, okay? That would work as well. But that would be a good goal. So, some of you accomplished that last year, I think. And so 2011 was a good year for you, Jacqueline. But I guess that's a goal anyway. Number 8, helping others in their dreams. Way to go, Jacqueline. No, just kidding. Helping others in their dreams. And how, now that sounds very worldly in a lot of ways, but if you look at the spiritual significance of this, it could be used in a wonderful way as well. Helping others in their dreams. Number 7, quit smoking. So, all right, so we'll get past that one. I am amazed at the number of success stories we've had in the church of people who've been able to conquer that. Number 6 was learn something exciting. And on the picture associated with this on the Internet, it was actually somebody learning to play an instrument, playing the keyboard, is what the picture was. But learn something exciting. Learn how to, I tell you what, if we don't soon play Blessed Be Your Name, and 2 weeks from today, Ryan, 2 weeks from today, we're going to play Blessed Be Your Name. And our lead guitar player on that song is going to be Ryan Parker. So he just can't wait. So 2 weeks from today, you get ready for that. So he's excited about that. I'm excited about it. That boy, I tell you what, he can just clap his fingers around that guitar and do amazing things. It's pretty cool how he can do that. So a couple weeks from today, we'll do that. But learn something exciting. And it's always great to go around and hear the parents of the kids and the kids. They'll all come up to me. They've got a musical instrument they've learning and everything. Wade is learning to play the trombone, and he was sharing with me about that and was excited about it. It's always exciting to see them learn something new. So learn something exciting. If it's not a musical instrument, learn how to work your email account and check your own email. I was thinking on the way yesterday, I was going on the road thinking, you know, somebody could probably make a killing if they just open up a little store where people who just can't quite figure it out can go and you can check the email form. You know, they got to be a market for that. Learn something exciting. Staying fit and healthy. I thought that was interesting. Usually we're saying get fit and healthy, but this is staying fit and healthy. I heard a newscaster say the other day that he was thankful for. At first he said he hadn't lost any of the weight he gained, but he meant to say he hadn't gained any of the weight he lost is what he meant to say. So staying fit and healthy, that's an honorable goal, I guess. Enjoy life to the fullest. And I think that's a John 10:10 passage there, the abundant life that Christ wants us to have now, and that we can enjoy our life, and God wants us to enjoy the fullness of life. Enjoy life to the fullest. It doesn't have to mean it's a sinful life. It doesn't mean it's a carnal life. It's a life that's enjoyed by the fullness of God. And our text this morning will actually speak about that. Spend less, save more. All right? Anybody? You know, it does wonders for your bank account when you do that. You spend less and you save more. And that's, we all should have financial goals for this year. Or not, because if the world's going to end in 2012, it don't matter anyway, right? So that could work. You know, I heard a preacher say one time that Hickory Grove Baptist Church, big church down in Charlotte. He said, Joe Brown, he said, I believe every church should be in debt. I thought, that don't make sense. I don't make a lot of sense. He said, the Lord's going to come back and we'll leave the Antichrist with the bill. Not a good philosophy, but spend more, spend less. All right. Get organized. Now, fortunately, this is not one that I'm not worried about. I'm concerned, but you can get organized. That's always a good thing. And of course, the number one list, and it always is lose weight. And we do that. We're so good at it that we do it every year. We make that same commitment every year that we're going to do more about that. Those of you that can eat whatever you want to eat and you still look like a pencil, shame on you. But you thank God every day for that gift. So it's a wonderful thing. Last year, the first Sunday that I preached in the new year, I wasn't here on the first Sunday of the new year, I had a message called Time for Change, and it was based out of Romans chapter 12. And my whole thought here is that how has the change worked out for you? Every year we come together and we talk about the commitments we want to make, the resolutions we want to make, and they're honorable goals. All 10 of those that I've just put up on the screen were honorable goals. And the ones you typically see are honorable goals and things that we'd like to accomplish. We talk about the change that we want to see in our life, and we say on that first Sunday of January, or even January 1st, as it is today, being the first Sunday in January, we talk about how our life's going to be different this year. Then by about March, we find ourselves back in the same rut, the same routine that we were before, struggling with the same struggles that we struggled with before, struggling with the same bitterness and attitudes that we struggled with before. Things very rarely change when it's left to our own abilities and powers. I've used this last year, you know, the definition of insanity there, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. That's Albert Einstein. That's not a picture of me. I know the screen's weak this morning, but we do the same thing over and over again, expecting the same different results. And that's really, when we start thinking about change and talking about change, that's really what we expect to happen, and it just doesn't happen. And then we feel like a failure. How many of you feel like you failed on your New Year's resolutions from last year? How many feel like you failed on your commitments to God that you made last year, these spiritual commitments that you make? Time and time and time again, we have that attitude. We think we know what we need. We think we know what's right. And we think we can do it in our own ability and power. I'm just going to stop thinking like that. I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to stop going here. I'm going to stop driving like that. All these other things that you can make up. I'm just going to quit. But then you find yourself in the same boat that you were last year, making the same promises to God again today as you did last year as we gathered. I think my sermon was on the 9th last year. So what's the difference? How can we see real change in our lives? Last year I started a whole series on change with the first of the year and the time for change. And rightfully so. But did it work for you? This Sunday I want to talk about something different. And it's going to be a series to start out the year. We're going to take a break from Hebrews for a little while. And I want to look at a topic. I'm going to call it the pursuit of holiness. And it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And really have about 5 verses listed there I want us to look at this morning. So look there if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to see if we can't see this change actually stick in our lives this time. In verse 6, it says this, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be good ministers of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wise fables, and exercise yourself towards godliness. For the bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. Now this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You know, when I'm looking over that, I'm thinking, it says, but reject profane and old wives' fables. I'm trying to figure out, is the fables old or the wives old? So which one goes into there? What do we reject? What is it that we take as the gospel that doesn't really come from the Word of God? And we center our life and our goals and our commitments and our resolutions and whatever it is around fables and around tradition, around other things that's not biblical. It doesn't have that biblical foundation whatsoever. How can we pursue holiness that truly is life-changing? Holiness and godliness is all similar here in my discussion for today and what I'm hoping to stress to you today. That there's a desire that we all have to be closer to God and to walk with God. But yet, how many of you can say you truly grew as a result of your devotion to Christ last year? Maybe some of you can. Maybe some of you thought, well, I really had greater expectations of where I would be spiritually after this year that we just celebrated and experienced. There must be something wrong with that pastor because I'm not growing in the Lord like I ought to. I'm not being fed. Or maybe there's something wrong with your Sunday school teacher because they're not force feeding you the Word of God like they ought to be doing. That those Awana teachers ought to be doing a better job teaching our kids about the Word of God. Well, some of that could be true, but the thing is, what are you investing into the holiness that God desires for you to experience in your life? I'm hoping I'm setting a stage for which we'll be talking about for several weeks from this point on. And a lot of this actually comes from the thought of this. Sort of comes from a book I read back in my seminary days called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. Hard to see it up on the screen. I think I got one. Oh, got a copy of it right here. Matter of fact, I showed it to the deacons last time we were together. Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. It's by a man named Donald Whitney. So if I make a reference to Whitney's not here today. I can't have her stand up and say, this is Whitney, but that's not the Whitney I'm talking about, all right? If I talk about Whitney, I'm talking about Donald Whitney and some of his thoughts about these spiritual disciplines in your life. And what we want to set forth is a disciplined life, a life of, verse 7, it says, exercise yourself towards godliness. We're talking about that exercise. That can bring us to a point where we can be more like Christ. You know, for a long time I talked about the fruit of the Spirit, and I think this passage would tie in great with the fruit of the Spirit because the fruit of the Spirit is what you are. But what is it that makes you be a producer of the spiritual fruit? It comes from a disciplined lifestyle, a spiritually disciplined lifestyle. And over the next several weeks, I'm going to challenge you with specific disciplines for you to consider from the Word of God that you may embrace and receive and exercise and work out and see if it doesn't change your life. And again, it's not you changing your life. It's surrendering and submitting to the disciplines of Scripture and the teachings of Scripture in your life. It's applying all these things. There's a lot of things you could I could challenge you to do. I thought about it just a little while ago. I was out there at my truck, and I'm thinking, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution not to have a dirty truck. Well, I've done that before, and I've done it before, and I've done it before. I've done it in July. I said, I'm not going to have a messy truck anymore. When I got the truck from Mari, I said, my truck's not going to look like that little white truck. Well, don't go looking at it right now, because it tends to collect. But listen, if I understand that I'm a steward of what God has entrusted me. And that truck's really not my truck. It's God's truck. It's something that He's entrusted with me for His service. It's going to make a difference about how I care for it. If I view my family as something that God has entrusted with me. If I view my finances as something that God has entrusted with me. This church is something God has entrusted with me. Our relationship with one another is something entrusted by God. Instead of just a circumstance which I had no control over, it's going to make a difference in how disciplined that is. So the pursuit of holiness. Whitney says in his book, there's three primary catalysts for change. Now there's not going to be a standard format of an outline today. It's going to be it's going to get the point across. But three primary catalysts for change. And the first one is people. And Proverbs 27:17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We can see change work in our lives because of the people that we come in contact with. Hopefully, as we come together on Sunday morning and for Sunday school, for preaching, for whatever it is we come together for, and we come together for a lot of things, that iron sharpens iron, that working together, man sharpens the countenance of a friend. Hopefully some of the good things, the spiritual qualities of one another rubs off on us. But also, when you go to work, wherever it is you may work, it may not be a very godly environment, but you're rubbing against some of that as well, and it may affect you in a negative way. It may be that you go out to the marketplace and you meet someone who has had a terrible day and they really don't like their job whatsoever, and you're involved with that. You rub against that a little bit, the iron and iron. And some of that bitterness will rub off on you as well. You know, there's not a lot we can do to control the people we come around other than go to the right places. But even with that, we're going to come across people. People will come into our path. It's going to affect us. If you turn on the TV and watch the news today, that's going to affect your attitude by what you see on that TV. Do you listen to people on the radio, talk radio, whatever it may be? Those people are going to affect you. All right? So people are one of the things. They're one of the catalysts. Circumstances is another catalyst. Romans 8:28. We all know, as you all know, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So we have circumstances that can be used to change us, that can be used for great things, but a lot of times we have no control over the circumstances in which we face. We can't make a resolution today, I'm not going to hang around bad people this year. I'm not going to hang around this person because of their attitude. I'm going to stay home and isolate myself so I won't be affected by other people. You're not going to do that today. And you're not going to say today, I'm going to protect myself from circumstances that I don't like. How many of you want to do that? That's a good one. I'm going to protect myself from circumstances I don't like. You can't do that. Circumstances are going to happen as you come around, as you live your life, as you go into the world. Somebody might pull out in front of you on the way home from church today and make you think something very unpleasant. But circumstances happen. So we got people, we're not really in control of that as much. We're not in control of our circumstances as so much. But our spiritual disciplines are something that we can take part of. It says there in 1 Timothy chapter 7, 4, verse 7, it says, exercise yourself toward godliness. Exercise yourself toward godliness. All right, what does that mean? All right, the word exercise. Discipline, gymnasia, is the Greek word there. All right. Sounds like something that you need Tums for, gymnasia. But actually think about gymnasium. All right. Think about a gymnasium. Think about your gym. That's a place where you go and physically work out to make yourself a better self, to make your body a better body, to give strength to your body. It's an exercise. We get the word gymnasium from it. So it implies this exercise, or some translations say discipline, that's what I had on the last screen there. It expresses or demonstrates the fact that it's an effort that we can put into our spiritual walk. We exercise our faith. We exercise these disciplines. Paul says that we're not to be one is fighting into the air, but we keep our body into subjection. It takes practice to do that. It takes effort. It takes exercise. It takes a routine. It takes a discipline to be able to do that. Exercise yourself. These spiritual disciplines that we'll talk about over the next several weeks, here's five of them. There's five more on the next screen. We're going to talk about Bible intake, and what a great way to start that today, as the sheets are available for reading through the Bible in a year, and make a commitment to do that. Prayer. Make a commitment to prayer today. Make a resolution to prayer. Think about the spiritual discipline of prayer and wanting to be a part of that. Again, we'll talk more of these details in the weeks to come. Worship. Evangelism. And serving, all these things are things that the Scripture says that should be a part of what we are doing. You say, I've got enough stuff to do already. Listen, if we're focusing on these spiritual disciplines, living our lives the way God's Word says we're to live it, then everything else will fall into place and be all the better for it. Here's some more. Stewardship, fasting, silence and solitude. I had to write a paper on that one when I got this book back in seminary. Silence and solitude. I like having some time alone. Journaling. I've tried that. Didn't do too good with it, but journaling. Have y'all tried that journaling? How many of you journal? You do journal? Okay, so I've got a few of you. Okay, good. But we should be about writing out what God is doing, because isn't it amazing to go back and look at what God has done? I was mentioning last Sunday how we have the Christmas card prayer list from this past Christmas Eve, the Christmas Eve prayer list, and how I could go back to last year and see the prayer requests from last year. And actually, I didn't realize it last week when I said it, but actually, I don't think I did anyway. I've actually got 09 in there as well, 09, 010, and 11. I've got those prayer requests, and it's almost like journaling on your behalf, that I can go back and look and see what God was doing in your life and what you was needing God to do. And I can say with boldness how God has worked things out in your life. It's a great thing to be able to go back and see that. But if you're not recording it somehow, how will you ever recall all the many things that God has blessed you with? Count your blessings and you'll be surprised what God has done. And learning. We've got to be lifelong learners, and we'll talk about that in the future as well. These are the topics of what our sermon series will be about in the weeks to come. All right? They're spiritual disciplines. There are things that you have control over if you so desire to exercise yourself into godliness, as verse 7 challenges you to do. Verse 8 says bodily, in 1 Timothy 4, said for bodily exercise profits a little bit. It is good to work your body. It is good to work out. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now, and that which is to come as well. These spiritual disciplines, the pursuit of holiness, is what we're after here. Now, holiness is a gift from God, and here's just some verses. We won't look at them individually. John 17:7, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and Hebrews 2:11. All these demonstrate that holiness is a gift from God, okay? It's something that God blesses us with. And we want to be blessed by God in these ways. We want to have a life that is holy, 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 as we sang about in our first hymn today. But we can further the process. We can do our part to cooperate with God with what God wants to do in our lives. And this is where we fall short. We think we're going to sit here and just wait to be blessed by God, but yet the Scriptures tell us that we are to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, that there's an effort there to help us in the growth process. In Luke chapter 18 and 19, there's two different stories. There's one of blind Bartimaeus and one of Zacchaeus. Do you remember the stories of those two characters in the Scriptures? The stories of these encounters with God. How blind Bartimaeus said, if I can just get in his path, I know he's coming, but I want to put myself where he's going to be so that I can have contact with him so I can be healed. And Zacchaeus, you know, he was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. You know, he climbed up in the sycamore tree. Said, Lord, do you want to do see? We don't sing that song anymore, do we? So, do y'all sing that back in children's church? You know, I need to learn that on the guitar. So Ryan can learn that on the guitar. You can play. Well, there you go. But he wanted to get to where he could see Jesus, okay? He wanted to be in the pathway of God. All right, we can further the process by placing ourselves in the pathway of God. We need to be where we know we're going to encounter God. Now, we can encounter God in all places, but there's certain places that God really wants to bless. There's certain places that you can see and hear God stronger and louder than in other places. That one on silence and solitude, it's great to get alone with God and to go for a walk through nature with God and commune with God in that way, to get away from everything else. If your ears ring like mine do, you're walking through the woods, you don't know if it's crickets or your ears ringing. So, hey, it works out pretty good. You can still listen for God. But place yourself in the pathway of God. And that's what my challenge to you for New Year's Day of 2012 is, to place yourself in the pathway of God by strongly considering to join the gym. I'm asking you this morning, will you join the gym? But I'm not talking about the YMCA or the Why Not Today or whatever it may be. But I'm talking about God's gym, of His Word, and the spiritual disciplines found, contained within His Word. Are you willing to place yourself in the pathway of God? Will you make a commitment this day for this year to do what you can do to see God in your lives? Charles Spurgeon said this, "I must take care above all that I cultivate communion with Christ, for though that can never be the basis of my peace," mark that, "yet it will be the channel of it." You see that? He said, I need to cultivate my communion with Christ. And I'm wondering, how much cultivating do we do in our communion with God? How much do we work on that communion with God? He said, well, we just had communion on Christmas Eve. You know, we just had that here. Yeah, but how much do you do that on a regular basis? Cultivate your communion with Christ. Being in the pathway of God. Being where God can, being in such a state that you can truly hear what God wants to say to your very heart. It'll be a channel of the peace that God wants to bless you with. Here's somebody that you might know, Tom Landry. Anybody ever heard of him, Tom Landry? He said this, the job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. All right, I've never known of anyone, maybe Dick can give a testimony of his grandson, maybe a little different, but I've never heard of anyone really enjoying the football practice in August when it's 100 degrees with all pads and all that other stuff on. You know, it's not really a pleasurable thing. But the coach makes them do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. You can say today, you know, Myron, I really do want to grow in the Lord. But you just put 10 things of a list up on the screen, and I'm too busy for that already, and I've got too much stuff going on. But I'm convinced if we think about and focus about the spiritual disciplines and the disciplines that God wants us to have in our life, that everything else is going to be so much easier. And we're going to achieve what we always wanted to be because we're willing to put forth the effort in our relationship with Christ. Ryan didn't learn how to play the guitar just by watching YouTube. Well, maybe he did. I don't know. But he's a great little guitarist. I'm excited about what's happening there. But a lot of kids want to play the guitar. They come to me. I got one, and Luke's got one now. It's going to be a noisy place around here for a long. Luke's got one now. How's he doing with it? All right. Don't forget. Okay. All right. His is electric and an amp. All right. So he's got that. But you know, you don't just strum it a couple of times and you're good at it. No, it takes discipline. It's doing the things you don't want to do in order to achieve what you've always wanted to be. I wish I could play the piano like Elizabeth plays the piano, but I get very frustrated when I sit over there. And I can pick out the notes. I can do that. But now if I pick up a piece of music and it's got 4 lines to read at one time, I still don't know how they do that. They read 4 notes at one time. I don't know. You know, guitars, that's why guitars are good. I've got a sheet that says play a G. All right, I can play a G. Play a D, I can play a D. It's a lot easier, but the organ music, forget it. I just can't do that. But yet, if you're disciplined, like the musicians of the church are, and somewhere down the road they learn to play probably scales first, and then the chords, and then all this other, and they become proficient, and now I can hand them both a piece of music, and they can just take off with it. That's an amazing thing. But it's not like they enjoyed the scales when they worked on them. But look what they can do now. It's not that we enjoy going to the gym physically and working out, but yet, when we can climb a set of steps to get to the Cracker Barrel and not be winded when we're at the top of it, you know, it's a great reward for that faithfulness. When Roland and I was in the process of working out on a regular basis, I can't believe he quit working out on me, but anyway, it was me. He's ready anytime I say go, but it felt so good to be in shape, and now I'm getting shape again. The round's coming back again. But making men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they always wanted to be. Proverbs says this, "But he who has called you is holy, but you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." That's a command. It's a command. We are to be holy. That this pursuit of holiness is not something, oh, it would be nice to be a holy Christian. Nope. God says, be holy, for I am holy. Because in the very name of Christ, we represent God. And we are to be holy. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply to your heart instruction. Some translations say discipline. And your ears to the words of knowledge. So we are to be holy. We're to apply discipline to our heart and to our lives, just like sticking a label on a piece of equipment. You apply that on there. We're to apply to our lives discipline. So these spiritual disciplines will come in handy. Jesus says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." How many of you need that in your life today? Rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. All right? It's a yoke. All right? You've got a yoke around you regardless, but Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from him and enjoy the freedoms of being a sold-out believer, a disciplined believer." Jesus said to all of them, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Would you join the gym this morning? Would you surrender your life to him? Would you say, "I want to be a disciplined child of God. I want to pursue holiness this year. I really want God to change my life. And that means that I'm willing to do whatever God asks of me. If it means spending some time in prayer, I'll spend the time in prayer. If it means spending time in God's Word, I'll spend time in God's Word. If it means a day of fasting, I'll spend a day of fasting. If it means I need to be a better giver, I'll be a better giver." But as we look at these principles in the week to come, I'm asking you just today, are you willing to join the process of becoming a disciplined disciple of Christ? There's the danger of neglecting these disciplines. That is, there's a lot of people who know a lot of things about God. There's a lot of people who know a lot of things about the Bible. We've got a lot of kids that can recite the books of the Bible in just less than a minute, and really a lot less than that. But there's a lot of people, spiritual people, walking around that are a mile wide and less than an inch deep. If we neglect these disciplines in our life, we miss out on the depths of our relationship of knowing who God really is as he's revealed through the Scripture. There's the freedom of embracing these spiritual disciplines. And always, like I said earlier, as some can just pick up a piece of music and play it without any problems whatsoever, that didn't come from a life that was not disciplined to start with. And a life that has the freedom of facing a difficult situation in your life without being totally devastated by it because of your faith in Christ, which a lot of you have gone through this past year. You have the freedom of embracing these disciplines has enabled you to get through the hard times that you had to face this past year. And that freedom comes from a life of trusting in God. And that's where we want to be. If that we really want to enter into rest, we need that freedom of embracing these disciplines and trusting in God in all things. We can neglect them, we can embrace them, but the invitation is there for all of us to enjoy them. And today I'm just asking you, as you think about what you want to do different in 2012, I'm asking you today, would you make this a year that you want to learn more about God and His Word and what He desires for you? Would you make a commitment today to enter into the pathway of God in your life? It's not just, I'm going to go to church and meet God on Sunday morning, and then next Sunday I might go meet Him again if everything's going all right. No, it's about entering into a stronger, deeper relationship. And I want to walk you through God's Word and help you do that over the next several weeks and really all year long. Really, that's what the church will be about anyway. But it all starts with a willingness for you to say, "Yes, I want to be a part of what God has for me. The pursuit of holiness."